Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence and You on Community Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. My name is Rebecca Miller, and I am hosting the show today along with Otto Loos, and we have been talking with Mike Utaro. Sorry, I had a little technical difficulty when we first started. So Mike, a lot of information you gave us, and one of the things that Otto was talking about too, I just want to go back a little bit, was the dedication that men and women have when they become volunteer firefighters. You know, mostly everybody has a full-time job, I'm assuming, and that, you know, when they come to fires, it could be after a full day work. I mean, I know I live across the street from a volunteer fireman over in Farmingdale, and I have to say, as soon as, like, we're sitting in our living room and we're watching our show in the safety of our home, his truck lights go on and off he goes. I live near 110, so it's very busy over there. He comes home, like, you know, could be a few minutes later or an hour later, off he goes again. Sometimes it's all night long, and it's just really amazing. So, you know, I think everybody is very appreciative of it. I just, you know, like Otto was saying, do people understand that, you know, everybody is, you know, volunteering their time and they're raising families and working full time too?
Oh yeah, it is a challenge. We have in you know, just my department alone, Manhasset Lakeville, we have doctors, attorneys, construction workers, plumbers, electricians. We have commissioners of government in New York City. We have you know, authors. We have a whole gamut of people, and it is actually amazing to see that when the whistle goes off and we get on the trucks, how they all become firefighters and they all know the job and the task that they have to do when they get it done. You know, it's my wife is she's gotten used to me getting up from the table to run out to a fire. She doesn't even hear me sometimes get up in the middle of the night, although I make a racket knocking things around as I'm trying to get out. But every one of the men and women who volunteer can probably have the same stories. And you know, you do it because it you know, universally, when I ask my friends and my comrades, Otto's son, Eric, you know, the feeling you get of accomplishment and what you're doing for somebody is, it sounds cliche, but it really does matter. It makes you feel good that you've done something well and you've served your community. You get the thanks. You have a big working fire and somebody comes out with, you know, cups of coffee, or somebody brings donuts or cold water. It's, you know, it's a community oriented thing, and it makes you feel good that that sense of community still exists in this crazy world. but it's a, you know, it's something, like I said, it's not, we don't want to scare anybody. It is a lot of training. It is a big commitment, but we definitely feel that what you get back, you know, me in particular, I get a busted sink at the house and I can call so-and-so from the fire department that I know that's a plumber, and he comes over and helps. He's trying to get a business open and his plans are stuck at the fire marshal's office. He calls me and says, you know, so-and-so is trying to open a restaurant. Can you see if his plans have been submitted? We help each other out. Everybody has their specialty, and it's like a family. So right. I definitely encourage people to, you know, get involved.
Let me ask you, I'm sorry, but getting volunteers, I think most organizations are having difficulties getting people. Are you having problems or more difficulties getting volunteers now than you did in the past?
Oh, definitely. You know, when I first joined in 1989, there was a waiting list for some departments just to get in. It was a very robust membership. It started to decline over time, right around the time of the events of 9/11, which is 20 years ago now. There was definitely a spike of volunteerism and wanting to help your community and community spirit, especially in the memory of all those folks that were killed. And even that's kind of dipped off a little bit, and dipped off even more than it was before. So we definitely, we definitely need more people. A lot of companies are at half capacity right now. I know in Manhasset Lakeville, each company has an active roster that go up to 60. My company, Company 5, we're only at about 35 members. And when you think of people at work or committed to a family event or whatever it may be, when that siren goes off or the horn goes off, you have that much smaller of a pot to draw from. So extra members are always necessary. We have outreach groups through the fire marshal's office and the fire commission, recruitment committees, that if there's a community group, especially a newer community group, a new community of people moving into the country from overseas or coming in from Queens or from New York City, if they have a community forum, whether it be at a temple, a mosque, a church, a community center, reach out to us, let us know, and we'll come and speak to you and tell you about everything and hopefully bring some applications with us.
That's great. That's good to know. Before we kind of broach our topic on fire safety for seniors, I was in a situation this weekend on Saturday, and I was kind of not sure what to do. We see the sirens, we pull over. Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
Must be catching. I had the same problem.
So we're not really sure. So here's the situation I was in. I'm driving south on the Meadowbrook Parkway. It's going to Long Beach. Driving, not speeding, of course. I would never do that. And getting fairly close to the Loop Parkway. It was 5 o'clock, people coming home from the beach. I'm going toward the beach and nice open road. And all of a sudden, there's a fire truck northbound, goes over the divider to make a U-turn and starts heading south. So now there's a fire truck in the left lane. They were heading to an accident. I had no idea what was going on. So now you've got cars that are in the middle and right lane. And none of us seem to know what to do, even though the fire truck was going a little bit slower in the left lane heading south. We're all heading south. Do we slow down and not pass the fire truck? And then I'll tell you what happened. But, I was kind of trailing behind because I wasn't sure what to do because it was, we're on the parkway. And, it was scary. They have to stop traffic on a parkway out of nowhere, but luckily we saw the fire truck crossing the divider. So, something's up. So you start to slow down. But then once the fire truck is there, what is the right thing for drivers to do it? And not just in that situation any kind, when you see a fire truck going somewhere with the lights on, and as drivers, how what's the best thing for us to do?
The best thing to do is, which you were doing correctly, is trying your best to yield to what they're doing. That's a unique situation you described about that U-turn. Not quite sure what to do. I know my company, we're on the parkways and expressway a lot for auto accidents and things of that nature. So the best thing that we can say, and from being a driver of one of the rigs, is just to pull off to the right and let us pass, make an aisle for us, especially in traffic. But the best thing is just slow your speed down is a very important part. I don't think anybody does a speed limit anymore, but drop your speed. The truck's coming up behind you. We're hoping and expecting that you're going to pull to the right. As most times when you yield, you pull off to the right. That's very helpful. We do have people that as soon as we pass, they hop right on our tail and follow us to traffic. That's not a very wise thing to do. The best thing you can do is yield. And then when on a parkway, there is a law now that you have to move over. It's the move over law for emergency vehicles. So if we're stopped at an accident, you should try your best to give us at least the lane's space to pull past us. And because the highway, believe it or not, going into working fires, while it is dangerous, one of the most dangerous places for us right now is on the highway. People just aren't paying attention. We had a car into the woods on the northern state about 2 weeks ago when I was driving the rescue truck. And they have these nightly speeding events with motorcycles and cars on the parkway. They actually went around my truck on both sides through the accident scene. And it was a wake-up call. We brought the next truck in and blocked all the lanes. We just basically shut the parkway down. But it's frightening. It's intimidating out there. But being good citizens such as yourselves, the best thing you can do is move over when you see a police officer, fire truck, or ambulance to give us our space. And if you see one coming up behind you with its sirens going on or you're approaching an intersection, they should be pausing at the intersection. We teach our guys to do that.
Right.
This isn't the Indianapolis 500. They shouldn't be barreling through intersections, but you know, pause and yield to them so they can get through, so they get to where they're going to render aid.
Right.
So I would assume. Sorry.
We continued when I continued on the road there on the northbound side. There was a multi-car accident, two flipped cars, and cars that went off into, I guess, the wooded area. A lot of different fire departments and ambulances and police were there. You know, it's that part of the Meadowbrook Parkway where there's not a lot of exits. You know, it's first starting out. So I assume that, you know, fire department got on ahead of the accident and had to make the U-turn to go back. So it was kind of, you know, a unique situation. I was never in that situation before. But you know, I hope everybody was okay on the other side. That's good information.
I'm assuming that to be a driver of a fire truck, not everybody in the company drives the fire truck, that there are people who are trained specially to do that, or is everybody capable of driving the truck?
Well, we'd like to say everybody is capable, but there is a driver's test. They have what's called pump tests, or for the ladder trucks, the ladder test of setting it up. There's some folks that just they're not cut out for it. For the most part, we try to advocate the more drivers we have, the quicker, again, we can get the trucks out. But it's a unique experience hopping out of a Subaru and then hopping into the, you know, front seat of a, you know, multi-ton truck and driving it down the road. But for me, yearly, you have to do a pump test where you prove that you can pump the water through the truck and set things up correctly. We have the rescue tools for the jaws of life. We have to make sure we can turn our generators on and our pumps. You know, because you can't forget any step. You're the one delaying it. Trust me, all your fellow firefighters pointing fingers at you. But yes, there is a rigorous driver's training program. We take them out on EVOC or emergency vehicle operations courses to make sure that they can safely back the trucks up. We have very strict policies so we don't hit anybody. But yes, it's another thing that you learn in the fire service if once you become a firefighter and you're ready to go and step up to the next level.
Now, the academy that you talked about, all this training that's involved, is it like a full-time academy? Is it like a school, or, you know, how many people are actually working in that academy to train people? Trying to get a picture.
We'll get Mike's response when we come back. We have to take a quick break, and we will continue with our guest, Mike Utaro, who is the First Assistant Chief Fire Marshal, Nassau County. And we will be right back to talking about fire safety.